Welcome to the Kosafa Show with Mark Gleason and Nick Seg.
Welcome to this latest episode of the Kosafa Show, which comes hot on the heels of the completion of the Hollywood Bets Kosafa Cup 2022 in Durban, where Zambia were crowned winners in what is their record-equaling sixth regional title. We'll hear from both coaches from the final, as well as South Africa's Helman Mkalele, as they picked up the plate trophy. We'll also get a fascinating insight from Kevin Johnson, who was part of the technical study group of the tournament, as he reveals the observations they made about the teams. Then we hear all about fast footy from Mark Fish, get the latest on COVID-19 and football tournaments from Dr. Tulani and Gwenya, and listen to the thoughts of participants and convener Ashford Mamelodi at an administration course that was held during the competition. But first, let's get the post-final view of Zambia coach Alhosa Anatonovich after his side's 1-0 victory over Namibia in the decider on Sunday.
Congratulations to Namibia, because I saw the teams, who knows what is doing every moment, every second. Congratulations to your coach, because for us it's a very difficult game, especially first half. But second half and extra time, we are trying to keep the ball and try to find the space. And we are finding the space and we are scoring the goal. But for us, it's a very tough game, and I'm so happy also. Congratulations to my boys. Congratulations to my staff. Congratulations to FAS. Of course, we had also the last game against Comoros in home. We had 8 of 9 local guys in my teams. And you know that I believe these people, because you know the quality of the boys. I just won't invite them even for the afternoon games. You know, it is a special when you win anything. You know, I'm so happy, because I know how we are work hard. Maybe you journalist doesn't know. We are know how we are work very hard with this void. We are almost 1 month with guys. And every day, training, every session, every preparation, how many times we analyze the opponent, how many times we analyze our mistakes, our good things. Of course, I'm happy. But I'm proud about my players, the reaction of my players. First, it is most important. Of course, the coach is important. But we are piece of the something big. But most important is the players. If you have the players who have the character, we have the skin, we have the ambition to be somewhere up. This is amazing for the coaches. This is what we want tomorrow for everyone. For us, especially in Zambia, the leagues, they start 15 August. You know that. First of all, I want to tell you also the problem in the Zambia, because normally the players, he doesn't have the good resting. You know, we have finished the game against the Comoros. The guys is almost be out, maybe I don't know, resting holiday, maybe 10 days, and after that is start again for the camping for the another competition. This is for me and for the people who is a world. It's very difficult, you know that. Find the balance. You know, it's not easy. But you know, we are here for the try to change many things.
Namibia coach Colin Benjamin was disappointed his side could not pull off the win, pleased with the performance they gave in Durban.
It's always never easy against Zambia. A good team that keeps the ball good, they move confident. So in that regard, we knew that it's going to be a difficult game. But in the same breath, I would say that I'm proud of my players, proud of the team, the fighting spirit. It was hard work. It was not going to be easy. They kept their organization. They kept asking questions to Zambia. And for that, personally, and I think us as a technical team, it gives us appetite to work further with these players. And the journey had just started now with us. So congratulations still to Zambia. They did good, but the journey started.
Yes, of course, it's not a normal situation. It makes everything difficult for everybody involved.
But I think, or I hope, or we hope that with the potential that the boys showed here, that our leadership actually engage and try and resolve this. Because it's going to be a waste if we're going to spend some time in a game with no football. Because the potential is here, and potential that is not used remains dead. And we have targets, we have goals. These boys have dreams, and these dreams might not come true. So yes, but we have faith now with the new leadership, and we hope they're gonna resolve it sooner. I think having clean sheets or having stability at the back just gives the whole team also confidence. So I think the boys did well. And it had to take a deflection shot to crack us down. For that, we'll go back to that famous drawing board and try to rectify. And we will move on. For us also today was obviously to keep compact and to keep our shape, to keep our organization. We knew of Zambia's strength and we wanted to make it as difficult as possible for them. And we know that the Namibian team is always, always going to have a chance. And with experience, with more games, the chance like we had there in the last dying minutes with lethality and with time, we will bury it. And that's what we're looking at. We just today was born on our day. This tournament was exactly our thought or our plan to try and create depth so that one or the other player can then show his hand and say, listen, coach, we're ready. We are waiting Cameroon and now in September. And judging from that, definitely there's a few that raise their hands, and that gives us or gives me as a coach, obviously, more depth and choices, and that's what we're looking at. So I'm really proud of them.
South Africa had to settle for the plate as they defeated Botswana 2-1 in the final of that competition. And Coach Halman Galele feels his squad, which was made up of players aged 21 or younger, did well under the circumstances.
First and foremost, I'd like to congratulate Kusafa, you know, for organizing such a championship that gives, you know, especially the Southern African countries, you know, an opportunity, you know, to test, you know, their qualities amongst themselves, you know, in preparation for big tournament, as we all are aware that the next weekend we will be competing, you know, for Chad. So that gives all the Southern African teams, you know, better platform, you know, to build in terms of showcasing, you know, our talent and our qualities, you know, with the rest of Africa. Then coming to my team today, I would say we didn't start well, even though we won. You know, I'm happy for the fact that, you know, players, they demonstrated, you know, huge amount of character, you know, because we made 8 changes, you know, of which it's something that is not, actually, it was a high risk, you know, from my side to do that, because in a short space of time playing, you know, the amount of games that we played, and all of a sudden now you make 8 changes, you know, and it really backfired in the first half. But towards, you know, the last 15 minutes after we have made, you know, our changes, then we started now to get into our leading. So I would say, yeah, congratulations to my boys, and also congratulations to Botswana, because they made sure that we work hard, you know, for the future. For each and every player that comes to the national team, we always, you know, communicate with them in relation to what is expected of players once you are at the national team, you know. Yes, on the other hand, it might look like it will dent his confident, but at the same time, you are guided by what is happening during the game, you know, in order to make sure that we achieve the set goals. But we realize that, you know, Botswana, they were coming at us, you know, especially through the meeting, you know. And also we realized that, you know, for him, and not only for him, you know, alone, you know, the team, as I said, that, you know, we were struggling, you know, to find the rhythm. But yeah, we were struggling to find the rhythm, and we could, can you imagine if we didn't take the decision that we took and they capitalize through that position? I'm just making an example. Then we don't want to like to regret, you know. But hopefully, you know, he is a strong player, and we didn't look at that. And also, we will communicate with him, not personally him, the rest of the boys, that these are the situations that, you know, you need to bounce back from them. You need to be strong, you know. I think first and foremost, it was the decision that I took. It was informed by how Botswana played. You know, we had, yeah, at least yesterday, you know, some hours, you know, to view their strategy or their game plan. Then we realized that with the quality of players that they have, and more especially having, you know, the wing backs, you know, that are offensive, you know, and also having the two tens, you know, that were playing just behind the striker. So we realized that they want the spaces behind our. So for us to be able to block, you know, those wing backs, it was important that we also put in those two wing backs to block them from coming forward. But at the same time, having those three center backs, especially the outside center backs, to block the spaces that might be created, you know, during the game, of which Botswana, yes, they did create them, but we, I would say, we dealt with it, you know, effectively. Looking at the amount of time, because the next game is on Friday. It's on Friday. So now to assemble, you know, the new team, it will be suicidal for us to do that, because the majority of the players, even if they are available, you know, the players that are not here, the majority of them, you know, like, they are in pre-season, you know, but at least here we have an opportunity now to test, you know, and see how the level of our players, both in terms of the tactical and the technical abilities, as well as their conditioning, you know. So now we feel that, you know, they are in the right frame of mind, you know, for us to go and compete against Comoros.
Which means you'll be the coach.
Former Akli assistant coach Kevin Johnson, who has also led the likes of Platinum Stars and Supersport United in the PSL, shares his views on the teams as part of the technical study group at the competition.
For me, it's something new. I haven't done this before. But in saying that, yeah, we have a good instructor from Cape Town. Her name is Sweetness. She's guiding us. And I'm here with Riccardo Monetti, Roy Lamborghini from Vince, and we have this lady for Sweetness, and we have Mark Fish. They've done a bit of it. So the study group that I'm about to see now is to try and sort of analyze the game, the strengths of the team, the weaknesses of the team, look at the formations, look at the coaches, whether the changes made during the game have effect on the game, to see whether they change the systems within the game, how they change, what has been good, is the crop of players that are playing in Kusafa, because it is a non-CAF or non-FIFA competition. Is that helping the SADC regions improve? And if it is, what are they improving? Are they improving the players? Are they using younger players? Are they using older players? And we're trying to get all that type of information together and put it on some form of template, as far as I know, that we can present to Kusapa as a presentation to say, this is what we saw during the course of the tournament. And of course, you know, there's some players, some teams or some countries that come in the quarterfinals, like Bafana, because they're champions. So they only join the tournament later on. But there's some tournaments like teams like Angola, like Lesotho, for example. The last three games that we've watched, 3 days that we've watched, Lesotho and Angola, they look, Lesotho specifically, looks a different team. I'm not saying they're a better team, but there's a little bit of a structure there. You know, they tend to play ultra defensive. And we want to see what they're like. The other one that we took a lot of notice of that we saw is Mauritius. Mauritius in the past was a long ball nation, if you think back. And the game you watched, they wanted to play. They wanted to play out. They might not have had the players, or they might not have the players yet to play out from the back. But we saw number 17 in Mauritius, very, very comfortable centre-back. I'm just mentioning what I'm trying to explain, what the TSG is all about. And probably at the end of the tournament, we will give a presentation on what we saw happening. And that's why you see that the makeup of the team is not all coaches. It's myself and Riccardo Manetti. Mark Fish is just the next player. Roy is a manager, or he was a manager. The two other guys are administrators, but they all have some form of coaching behind their backs. So that is what we're trying to put together. And that's what I believe COSAFA wants us to get. And if I'm able to add my 20 cents to the whole SADC region to say this country improves here, this country improves there, then I hope it comes out better the next time, or it just gets better all the time.
Coach, the fact that some teams are using this as a development competition while some have actually, like Eswatini, have brought quite a strong and experienced team, does that have any bearing on your assessments as the TSG?
Yes, it does. We take note of that as well. Why? Because we want to see what the other countries have. And then you've got to also take into consideration the other countries where they are this time of the world, this time of the season. South Africa is in preseason. Eswatini, why are they not in preseason? We go back and we look at that as well. Why is it that Comoros is able to bring a 16 and a 17-year-old, yet Eswatini brings 25, 29-year-old? Where do we lie? So we make some form of recommendation or not recommend, or some form of ideas what we saw regarding the different countries and what the average player or what the average team came along with.
And finally, Coach, are you able to say which team has impressed you the most up to now?
Up to now? For us, Lesotho. Like I say, Lesotho in the past has never had any structure. All they looked like Lesotho was coming out of the bush. You know what I mean? Forgive me for saying that, but you use another word. But it always looked like they were a small nation, not having any structure or anything. And yet, when you watch the team now, they're ultra defensive. They play 5-4-1. And they are able to not allow you to score, but they're able to go a little bit quicker on the counter-attack. So that, for me, was good. When I looked at Malawi, they have Ferdinand Bango, who's a big name player in South Africa. And when we watched the game, they were all over the show. So, you know, Malawi, we always expect to be a playing nation, because along the way, leading up to here, we've always had good Malawian players. You talk about Ernest Chirwali, Robert Ngambi, John Maduka himself, Kabedingo. So you always expect nice players to come out from that nation. And they somehow look all over the place. Same with, there's other countries that had the same mentality, no proper structure, no proper idea of development. And that for us was a bit surprising. I mean, the Lesotho team, was it the Lesotho team? Yes, the number 12, very, very, very good player, very nice player. None of us knows him, where he comes from, but when we look back, they were posting that D1 player of the season in Lesotho, scored the most goals. I don't know what he done, but so, you know, it's not like we're not seeing these things. After we'll be able to compare and be able to see them. Oh, yes, they are good players.
Former Bafana international Mark Fish, with the support of GASAFA, is championing the concept of fast footy. He explains what that game is all about and how it is different from your average 11-a-side.
GASAFA initiative that's supporting me trying to do giving back to the community's development of football in conjunction with SAFA, obviously SAFA, KZN region. I've come up with a shortened version of football. Shortened version meaning short in time. You know, we look at football and see what can we do to change it, how to make it a little bit more exciting, how do we change the way the kids are all, the way people are playing football. I use the example of T20 cricket, what it did for cricket, and Sevens rugby, what it's done for rugby. It's made it more exciting, it's made it more entertaining, and it's also brought out more skills out of players. So for football, it's exactly the same. We're focusing on under 15, we're focusing on development. We can get the kids to think differently on the field about the game, and hopefully I also think that they think differently about life as well. So the rules of the game, it's 20 minutes a half, under 15 development. When you flick the coin, you win the toss, you decide when you want a 5-minute power play. The opposition decides when they want a 5-minute power play. They cannot have it together, because in a 5-minute power play, you take 3 players off the field. So it becomes 10, 7 outfield players. We're hoping that when you obviously have 10 players against 7, it should make the game quicker, especially for the 10 players. Make it quicker. When the game is quicker, you're improving your skills as a footballer. The 7 players, we're hoping that when you're defending, you learn to organize and communicate better so that you can defend against the 10 players. And quite often I have seen where the 7 players, if they organize, they go and actually score. One of the biggest rules that we put in is if you score outside the 18-yard area, it counts as 2 goals. The reason why we've done it, I've actually watched quite a bit of the Kosovo tournament this year, and I think there's only been 1 goal scored outside in the preliminary rounds outside the 18-yard. It was the Angolan free kick. We haven't seen many shots outside the 18-yard. We want to encourage the kids. You know, for me as a South African, when is the last time we've had a South African as the top striker in the DStv Premiership? It's been many years. So we're looking for players to be encouraged to shoot outside the 18-yard area. That is, I think, for me, is probably the biggest rule. We're encouraging them to shoot. Again, we don't have extra time. At the end of play, we don't have extra time. We go to the penalty shootout. What's it called? The penalty shootout, which is on the 18-yard area to hit the crossbar. That's called the crossbar challenge. And for me, we're trying to develop skills in individuals. Again, you know, sometimes I look at the players and you look, sure, are they going to be able to hit the crossbar? And today was a prime example. I thought these two teams, if they go to the crossbar challenge, it's going to be very difficult for them to hit it. And what happens? The first player that takes the penalty hits the crossbar. So it's always a relief, because sometimes I've had some bad experiences where it's taken them many times or they've never hit it. But again, I am using football in conjunction with Kusafa and the Sapa region that to develop the game, but also to enlighten and encourage the youth that there is more out there. And if you can think differently of the game on the field, we hope you can think differently off the field about life, the issues in the world, the issues in South Africa, so that we can try and create young men, create individuals that can be role models in their community. So I'm enjoying it. I use football. I use a different version. Fast footy for me is exciting. If you get it right, get some amazing goals. Today even, we saw a couple of goals where the kids are shooting outside the 18-yard area, which counts as 2. So that for me is exciting. So they caught on to it. The more often we can play it, the better we come at it. And I guarantee you, through this way of football, we'll create better footballers that think about the game differently, and actually better young men to be role models in their community. So very grateful that we're here in the KZN region. And again, thank you to Kusafa and SAFA and all the sponsors involved, because it's a giving back initiative. But the more you give back, the better you're actually inspired as an individual to do more each and every day. So.
Kusafa Medical Officer Dr. Tulani Ngwenya reveals how we are now moving away from the strict COVID-19 measures that had been in place at our tournaments, but also says we should not be dropping our guard completely just yet.
And joining me on pit side is Dr. Tulani Ngwenya, who is Kusafa Medical Officer. Doctor, thank you for your time. And let's talk about you sharing with me earlier on that you are regarding this tournament as a transitional tournament from COVID-19 times up to the time when, you know, restrictions were eased. Kindly share more light on that.
Thank you very much, and good afternoon to all your viewers. Yes, indeed, this tournament is a tournament that we are actually taking it as a transition tournament, because we remember that for the past 2 years, we have had our tournament under very strict regulations of COVID, but right right now, we have actually eased up the regulations. And this now, we have spectators back here. And in terms of the tournament the rules as well, there's no regular testing as it was before. So this is now transition, getting us back to where we were before the COVID times. So we didn't want to do it but we wanted to be cautious in our approach and make sure that everyone is safe in football and also protect the integrity of the game.
How has it been like in terms of workload? Is it more now as compared to last year when we didn't have people or fans in the terraces?
Yeah, actually, before it was actually it was a nightmare because we were working overtime. That is why I needed a team. So I was working with all the team doctors. The team doctors were part of the team. So right now, we have actually eased up the responsibility. As much as I'm overseeing the tournament, but most responsibilities with the doctors because we ask them to actually do the screening. So I don't really do much follow-up with them. But what we check is that when they come into the stadium, they've got a signed screening form to say that everyone that is coming to the stadium is COVID-free.
Doctor, let's now talk about how you interpret and describe the tournament from the 5th up to date, the 17th grand finale day. From your perspective, how has it been like?
It's been a brilliant tournament. We've seen good football as well. But from the medical aspect of things, we have seen less injuries. But that is also expected because now during the COVID times, there was less training, there was less preparation. But right now, there was actually more preparation. That is why we don't see a lot of muscle injuries. But before, we see quite a number of muscle injuries. But right time, this time around, we had actually less injuries, which is actually good because it's good for football. We want players in the field. We want them playing. We don't want them out. And it says also that the medical team has done actually well, so well that we've got most of the players in the field.
And what opportunities does this tournament give to young people, boys, girls, men, women, as it goes on?
Yeah, actually, COSAFA has started a new program of mentoring medical students. We've got medical students here with us that are shadowing me, so that we are actually helping them to show them what the aspect of sports medicine, to prepare for such events like a football event, to prepare a team for play, to prepare the stadium medically, so that they actually know what goes on. And they are quite inspired. Yesterday, we had a talk. I went to the medical school to give a bigger group a talk. So COSAFA is doing quite well to actually give back to the community and give back to the aspiring medical students to be sports physicians.
Seeing those students and everyone else that has taken part in this program, what does it do to you? What are some of the things that you are thinking as COSAFA that you must be able to do going forward briefly?
I'm actually thrilled by what COSAFA is doing and looking forward to actually more programs like this.
COSAFA is known for providing a legacy of education wherever tournaments are played, and respected former FIFA instructor Ashford Mamelodi is championing that in terms of administrators. He reveals what the workshops are all about, and we also get the views of some of those who took part.
I'm Zamane Ngobo from Ngunjobo region. I'm a deputy president heading a competitions committee. To be here, I would like first to say we are thanks to you guys as COSAFA to provide us this kind of workshop. This workshop increase our knowledge. There are new things. It's not really a new thing that we are doing. It's things that we are practicing in our own region. The only problem that we are facing, we don't do any emphasis. But we I would like to state that since we are here, we see the need of these kind of workshops to all of us from the top position in our regions, all regions, up until to the bottom, even in the LFAs, to assist our committees to understand their role they must play in terms of running the organization.
I'm Johnson Banza from Nkanyakude. I'm the first deputy president of SAFA Nkanyakude region. The workshops go very well. We learn a lot of things. We wish to have more workshops like this because it's helping us.
Nosipho, Yusipho Nkomo from Tebune Region. I'm playing for Sapphire Ladies and also at Tebune. It's a good course and I've learned a lot. Also, I have a lot of experience which I can go outside and up.
Pelilan Ngubane from Umgungundlo Region and Howick. I'm a chairperson of FC Angels. Yeah, firstly, I'd like to appreciate being a part of this course. So it's my first time to be here, so I appreciate that. Although in it, I haven't finished yet, but so we're getting there. Thanks for your time.
I'm delighted once again to be in Durban with the COSAFA team. It's been a legacy program that at our events at COSAFA, we always have developmental courses, be them in coaching and refereeing and also administration. And I've had the pleasure to run quite a number of them. I think in the same program, this is probably my third visit to KZN. I've done a couple in PE. I've also done one in Polokwane, as well as we did one much earlier in a couple in Gauteng as well. So the purpose really is to empower people who are leading football. Football is a bottom-up approach. The more people that are empowered to lead, the better it is for the game. When you begin to see cracks, if you look at national teams, for example, they should represent how well an organization has been set up, how well an organization from the grassroots right up to the top is operating. So COSAFA has identified this opening and the need. So wherever there's an event of COSAFA and provide budget allows, we do run these development courses. And for me, it's always a pleasure. I've been amazed, and I'll be honest, every time I find these in South Africa, in Durban particularly, I see a very enthusiastic audience. I see a very passionate following, people really determined to learn and to bring about the change. So that's really been very, 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 very motivating as far as I'm concerned, because that's given me the energy to give them even more. You know, part of the challenges in development, not only in South Africa, but the rest of the continent, there's always a resistance to change. So it's always a breath of fresh air to see younger people coming into the fray because they are learning for the first time. They've got a whole future out there. So we believe that once they're empowered, they can then go back to where they come from and share the knowledge and begin to effect the changes that football desperately needs. You know, so that we can grow it holistically. I've also been very excited. I think in PE, we actually had a whole course just for women. I was the only man in the room, and the feeling was great, trust me. But you're right, gender balance is great. It's good to see women coming forward because I always believe they have a role to play. Football is not just about men, it's about women. And the more women we get on board at administration level, the better. Because then they'll be able to encourage younger women also to come on board.
My name is Lomisa Jamili from the University of KwaZulu-Natal. I'm playing for UKZN Women's Football Club. I want to engage and to get in more to like higher levels within soccer, you know. So me coming here is to get more experience and learn few things of which I can implement when I go back and tell them that okay guys, this is what I've learned so far. I think this is how we should do things. And I would like to thank Christopher for bringing this program to us and Hollywood Birds. We are learning a lot of things and even our vision is starting to change, you know, even our behavior and everything. We are starting to see things on the brighter side. We are starting to think out of the box. So we just like to thank them very much. We appreciate that. Thank you.
No, absolutely. Hollywood Bats is playing a sterling role. They're creating excitement. You know, very often fans are forgotten. We want them in the stadium, but we never think about how do we keep them engaged. So the other day I was at the stadium and I could see all the competitions that are going on. It's absolutely fabulous. And what it does is it just reminds them to come back again. So clearly kudos to Hollywood Bets. That is a great job. I know that a new partner on board, and wow, it's really made an impact, their presence. 90 minutes will start and finish, but it's the quality of the 90 minutes that will matter. I think if our administrators are well empowered, I think even from COSAFA events themselves, they're learning a lot. They see the importance of time. They see the importance of detail. They see the importance of sponsors on board. They see the importance of communication, etc. Because all these elements enhance the 90 minutes. So you've got a choice. Either you watch a lousy 90 minutes where you'll be falling asleep all the time, or you watch an exciting 90 minutes where you thrive on it. It's that's really the effect of it.
And then last but not least, your overall impressions of the 2022 Hollywood Bets COSAFA Cup, and also what you're hoping that your participants, when they leave this at the end of the course, will go back and do. Basically, your parting words.
Yeah, this is what I love doing, trust me. And I've got a feeling that if my participants left here and went, first of all, shared the knowledge with their colleagues who could not make it, but importantly, begin to implement the ideas that they feel comfortable with. I think overall, if each and every one of them did that, it would have an impact in improving the game in South Africa, certainly in KwaZulu-Natal to start with, but definitely ultimately the nation.
That's it for another episode of the COSAFA Show. Don't forget, you can listen to more of our podcasts on Sokola Duma Radio, COSAFA.tv, Spotify, and iTunes. You can also get the latest news via our website at www.cosafa.com and on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok.